I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, I'll share my thoughts about what we too often keep to ourselves. But first, we continue with our September education series. We're having a series of conversations on what's outstanding, what needs improvement, and what remains incomplete in the quest to strengthen the nation's schools and give all children the best education possible. Today, we are going to tell you about a program to improve the educational experience for Native American students. According to published figures, Native American students have the lowest high school graduation rate of all ethnic groups in this country. And while there might be many reasons for that, one, say many students, is that there are actually very few Native American teachers to look up to as role models. The Sapsacuatla Teacher Training Project from the University of Oregon is one effort to change that. Project Director Allison Ball joins us from the University of Oregon. We also have with us Project Graduate Frank Summers, who joins us from Chiloquin High School, where he now teaches. Welcome to you both. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Now, so Allison, start us off. How does the project work?
We have a grant that we recruit students for the different cohorts of students that come in under a grant. It's a 4-year grant with 3 years where we bring in the teachers, and the fourth year is induction year, which we provide support for the teachers once they leave the program. Because it's known about teachers drop out of the teaching field probably about 5 years, so we kind of provide some support.
It's my understanding that if the graduates of the program go on to teach in Native American communities at the elementary, middle, or high school levels, the program is free to them. And if they don't choose to continue on with teaching, then they pay it back.
Yes.
Right. So, Frank, tell us, why did you want to participate in the program? I understand that you didn't start out wanting to be a teacher. Do I have that right? You actually had your sights set on being a golf pro.
Yeah. Well, you know, from the early days, I kind of had a sense that I wanted to become a teacher. Just the way things kind of played out when I was in school, not seeing myself or my people represented in the school system. I can remember when I was in junior high, and I went to Chiloquin High School. I grew up here. My family, my tribe is from the town of Chiloquin, the Klamath tribes. And I can remember having a discussion with a science teacher about the land bridge, because in my story, the way I was raised, my creation story puts our people here. And so I always had kind of a sense in my mind that I would, you know, wanted to be a teacher to teach an accurate history of who I am and who my people are. But it took a long time. It was a long road. I went on to college, and of course, that wasn't expected of me, and I didn't expect that of myself. Even here at Chiloquin High School, I can remember a counselor, you know, telling me to find a job in the mill or working in the woods or something like that, but I wasn't quite college material. And I didn't have the grades for it, but I guess I took that as a challenge, and I went on to Southern Oregon University, where I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in History. I pursued a career in golf, which was a pretty interesting choice.
Well, I was going to say nothing wrong with golf, but how did the program make a difference for you in helping you to choose this vocation now at this point in your life? What was it that attracted you, and what made the difference?
Well, the Oregon Indian Education Association had their annual meeting at the golf course, the resort I was working at, and some of the educators around the state of Oregon who I knew, they saw me at the resort, and they were like, "Hey, Frank, you know, we're trying to recruit folks." And they gave me a brochure as I was on my way to the pro shop, and I was like, wow.
But without the financial support, because the financial support is substantial, it's tuition, it's fees, it's supplies, and so forth, do you think that you'd be a teacher now?
You know, it would have been a lot tougher, I can tell you that. I was being recruited at Southern Oregon University. I know that they had someone who was in recruiting of minority potential educators, but there would have been some support, but I don't think it would have been full support to get that master's degree in education.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Allison Ball, I assume that the underlying theory of the program is that having more Native American teachers is helpful because Native American students presumably would relate better to these teachers and that they would do a better job of teaching Native American students. But is there really any data to support that theory?
At this point, I haven't seen any research out there. And I think because we're still trying to reach parity between the teacher and the student population where we can get more Native students out there.
That's a big investment on a theory. Though, give me a sense of why the grantors thought that this would make sense.
I think because a lot of the Native American teachers out in Native communities, they're, a lot of the communities are rural and kind of marginalized and real isolated. So they do, when they do get real good teachers in, usually they stay there probably a year to 5 years, and then they transfer out to better environments, school environments. But so I think there's an investment for Native American teachers to go to these communities because they're already aware of what they're getting into. And they also have kind of innate cultural understanding of the needs of Native students. They know the history, the importance of language and worldviews, ability to link the culture of the school and the culture of the community.
Frank, talk to me a little bit about that, if you would. What difference do you think it makes that you share the cultural background of many of your students? Can you give me another example?
Yeah, I think the students see one of their own. And I think the disparity of the years of how education was presented to Native American communities hasn't been inclusive. I mean, you go back to contact, and the first thing that happens is the boarding schools. Even my grandmother talks about when she was living in South Dakota on the Rosebud Indian Reservation, that's what happened to her. She was playing with her brothers and sisters. Here come this white woman with Indian police. You know, my grandmother remembers the woman waving her finger in her mother and father's faces, pointing at the kids. The kids were rounded up and shipped to a boarding school, separated from her brothers and sisters, their hair cut, their clothes cut, and going into a Catholic boarding school. That was their introduction into education.
Mm. So basically the experience a lot of Native people have had is their experience with the educational system is basically to obliterate their culture or to tell them they're wrong.
Exactly.
And to minimize. Well, tell me a little bit about what you learned your subsequent experience and how does that shape how you teach?
Well, we can identify that historical trauma that has been in place. And as the program, the Sauksi-Kwa-Tla Native Teaching Program does, is it allows qualified Native American students to become teachers and get their master's and go back to those communities to be more proactive in working with faculty and staff in those schools to really give a hand up and building a foundation to allow Native American students to be successful.
Allison Ball, tell us about how many students have gone through the program so far, and how will you judge its success overall?
We have just graduated a cohort of 16 students, and so that we've graduated 55 to 56 students so far with the master's and the teaching license. I would say about 98% of them are out there teaching today. We haven't taken a formal tally, but I would say about 70% of the students that we know of for sure are out there teaching still today.
Well, Frank, final thought from you. I know it's kind of a long road from being a golf pro to teaching high school, but what do you think? Do you think you're in it for the long haul?
Oh, definitely. I'm home. I'm walking the halls of the school that I attended. Most of my family has attended. I feel a lot of pride in that. You know, and I try to instill that in my students, you know, that this is my high school. I graduated from here. I have my name on plaques in the hallway for athletics, and for one that I'm really proud of is the Chiloquin High School Turnaround Student of the Year for 1990. That one right there really surmises of who and what I am today to be an educator. I totally believe that any student that walks through the door does not have to compromise themselves. They can be free to be who they are, and that, you know, any possibility is out there for them. And I'm here to show them that path.
Frank Summers is a graduate of the Sapsukwatla Project from the University of Oregon. He's currently teaching social science at Chiloquin High School, which he also attended. He joined us from that school, and you can hear that they're getting ready for their day in the background. Allison Ball is director of the Sapsukwatla Project from the university, and she joined us from the university. And I thank you both so much for speaking with us, and my best wishes for a successful school year for you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about my voice. I'm a football coach, too, so I'm kind of losing it.
Doing a lot of yelling out there. Okay, great. Well, good luck with the season then, too.
Well, I appreciate it.